You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Can't get enough of the Fan in the Morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Twerking.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
All right, away we go on a Monday pod. Tuesday. I'm all over the place. So I just did the 10 o'clock update, and I wrote in my script, Al, before we get started, that the Islanders and Hurricanes play Game 5 tonight to try and get it back to UBS Arena. And, of course, as I'm reading fast, I said Islanders and Hurricanes tonight at UBS Arena. I know the game's not at UBS Arena, but I read it quickly, screwed that up. And now I just come on here. It feels like Monday because you and I weren't here yesterday. It's Tuesday, Tuesday podcast. Hello, Al.
Oh, hi there, Jerry.
What a crappy start.
Yes. So, you know, I would told you that recently I felt a little more mature in that I stopped watching 90 Day Fiancé and all those. I just lost interest in them. 90 Day Fiancé and all those spinoffs. I got a whole bunch of spinoffs. And then, unfortunately, last night, and I didn't want to admit this in the warm-up show because it's it would sound really bad coming out of the speakers on WFAN.
I'll tell you what just sounded terrible on that note was you saying that you were a lesbian and me saying I always knew so, and they thought you were being serious inside.
In the other room?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sal looked at each other and said, he what?
I don't know where Eddie got that drop from at
this
the
podcast.
End of the show.
Yeah.
But last night, we came in here and started the warm-up show and said that last night, while you were hoping to get a full night's sleep, you were got intrigued by the Luis Severino no-hitter and had the game on.
Yeah, I couldn't turn it off.
And then I realized legitimately, while Luis Severino was throwing a no-hitter,
oh boy,
I got suckered into season 2 of MILF Manor.
Oh, God.
And I actually could not say that on the radio. I was like, this does not sound good.
No, it doesn't. Not on on sports radio 101.9 FM.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But MILF Manor, it's just these MILFs, Jerry, and they live in this house, and then young dudes show up, and they also live in the house, mm-hmm. and they do challenges and go on dates. It's very bizarre.
You know, I'm aware of the premise.
Yeah, the only good thing about it is I like to see women that are actually older than me. It's so rare for me to actually see a woman older than me, like being sexy.
So the MILFs are around 50-ish?
Yeah, some of the MILFs are 45.
Sure.
There's a 59-year-old MILF on the show this year, so it was a wide range.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get these young dudes roll up that are 24, 25, and they're into old MILFs.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Well, we're in a different time.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think in 1940 an 18-year-old was looking to have sex with a 56-year-old that looked like his great-grandmother.
Right, nor was a 59-year-old woman looking to have sex with a 24-year-old guy.
Well, I don't know about that. Like, why not?
Yeah, I guess. It's a weird thing.
It's a different time.
Different time. But so many of these MILFs, Jerry, they've gone through divorces, they've got children, and now they want to have their time. You know what I mean?
They're wild and crazy.
Yeah, but it's great to see the competitive nature of MILFs.
Yeah, I enjoyed the competitive nature of trying to throw a no-hitter last night in front of 25,000 people.
This felt similar. It felt similar, these MILFs competing with, like there's one MILF that is more attractive than the other MILFs.
Right.
And it seems to be evident in the way the men are reacting to the MILFs. There's one MILF in particular who used to be a stripper who is getting most of the attention. So
okay.
I'm curious to see how that plays out.
All right.
And then I was in thinking of MILFs and MILF Manor and, you know, Curb Your Enthusiasm just ended their run.
Right.
It got me thinking, Jerry, what are your top five
Okay.
Television shows, television series of all time. So this would be like top five.
This is a tough one.
Scripted series of all time.
Right.
And I was able to, as I was thinking this on the car ride in, I was able to come up with my top five pretty quickly.
Really?
I just needed to tweak the ordering of them.
I don't know that I have a top five yet.
Really?
I listed the shows that I really have enjoyed over the years.
Okay.
That even when I see them now, I will probably watch.
Okay. What is your top number one show of all time?
Law and Order.
Wow.
Law and Order with Sam Waterston as the prosecuting attorney.
So why would you put that as your number one show of all time? What about it drew you into it?
Much like you with the murder documentaries. It's about New York, number one. I loved his character. I loved the way he prosecuted the criminals. This would not make my top five, but I really enjoyed Matlock back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Where Andy Griffith was an older man. He was an attorney, but they also would go and investigate the crimes themselves. They knew what they were doing in the courtroom. That was the first time I got into, like, courtroom shows.
So he was a prosecuting attorney? Matlock, he wasn't a defender.
No, Matlock was a defense attorney.
Oh, he was defense attorney.
He was defense attorney. Whereas this is the prosecuting attorney in Law and Order. But, like, that was the first time I started watching, like, courtroom shows. And while I liked it, I look back on it now, a little goofy. Law and Order is, like, real. And the whole rip from the headlines, and they will tell you in the beginning, they're not real. But they are, though. When you watch it, the names are different, but the stories are pretty much right out of the papers.
Yeah.
So that, for one, even to this day, I still watch them. I don't know. I like the shows. The other one, and this is recency bias, but I can't stop watching it when I see it on TV, and it's on all the time, is NCIS. I love that show.
Would you put that as your number two?
It's in the top five.
Okay.
I would say Law & Order is one. NCIS is somewhere in the top five. I don't know if it's two. Here's where I got hung up, though, on the other three. And I'm all over the place here. I've got Seinfeld up there, but I'm not a crazy Seinfeld fan like a lot of people are. But, boy, when it's on, I can watch it for hours and hours and hours. So that's on the list. And you're going to laugh at me, but another one that I watch, I can't turn off when I see it, is Golden Girls.
Wow.
That's a top five show for you.
Dude,
I know. No. So I'm giving you the list that I'm trying to choose from to pick my next three.
Okay.
Or my other three. I think that is one of the funniest comedies in my lifetime. I just think it's hilarious. These three old women and a mom who was younger than all them, by the way. Betty White, the different characters, the sexual innuendo, hilarious.
Delta Burke was on that? No, that was Designing Women I'm thinking of.
Yeah, not...
What's this one called again?
Golden Girls.
Golden Girls. Yeah. Do they live together,
yeah,
the Golden Girls?
All four of them.
So there's three
Estelle
women
Getty,
and a mother.
Yes.
So four of them. Are they related, the others?
Just Dorothy and her mom.
So why do they all live together?
I don't remember that. That I don't remember. You have to go back to the very beginning.
Are they in like a retirement community?
Oh, yeah. Yes. In Florida.
Okay.
And you've got the sexy cougar. Then you've got Betty White, who's the ditz. Dorothy, who's very, you know, very common sense and makes all the right decisions. And then her mom, who's just a lunatic. And it's just funny. I find that show hilarious. Frasier is in that for me.
Oh, that's a good one.
I liked Frasier a lot back in the day. So much so I tried watching the reboot. It's okay.
Yeah, the reboot did not get a lot of positive press. Did you like Frasier partially because it was radio related?
I did. That was partly why I started watching it. And I did take to it. I liked it. So, yes, that is
That seemed
one.
Like a great show to work on.
Probably.
A talk show where you're taking in calls from people who need advice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why don't we have that?
We do. It's called Delilah.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
The Love Connection. She takes phone calls and emails and answers their questions.
Yeah.
And there's also, there was that show with Adam Carolla, Love Lines.
Oh, Love Line, yeah.
Yeah, sure. I think there are shows like that, believe it or not.
Yeah, I don't know that they still exist.
Maybe not. They used to be. I know.
That was a great one. Frasier moves from Boston.
To Seattle,
and he does a talk show.
Yep, which I enjoyed a lot. He was Dr. Frasier Crane.
Yeah.
Just a couple more I'll give you. I Love Lucy is another one that I Love Lucy and the Honeymooners. I will always watch. My wife thinks I'm nuts, but I like them. Roseanne.
Mm. That show gets forgotten a lot about. Yeah. I don't know why. Like when I'm hearing people's top shows, Roseanne, like Seinfeld is always up there. Very rare you hear Roseanne, even though
was a good show.
That was a long time.
Yep.
Breakthrough show.
I got two more for you, and then you see how my conundrum is.
Yeah.
Grey's Anatomy, which I think is a fabulous show. I was not an ER fan, but I like Grey's Anatomy a lot. And then the last one, this is embarrassing. This is kind of like you watching
You
Nolf
just
Manor.
Gave me Golden Girls before, and you've got a more embarrassing one?
It's pretty close. Because I think, so while I think the brilliance of Roseanne was middle America, I know they were in, where were they based out of, Michigan or Illinois, something like that. But it was a very low to middle class America.
Blue collar workers.
Yeah. And you really got to see the struggles. I thought it was brilliantly done. This on the other end of the spectrum looks at a mom and a daughter relationship, low end, high end, because the mom came from such a rich family, but she didn't take money from her family and lived a very middle America, middle income type of life.
I feel weird even saying this.
Charmed, I do like too, by the way. Gilmore Girls.
The Gilmore Girls.
I'm telling you, it is a terrifically written show about a single parent. I know it sounds horrible, but I used to watch that with my, when I used to watch TV, I used to watch it with my wife every week.
So if you've got NCIS and Law and Order up there.
Yes, those two 100%. Seinfeld's probably in there too.
So it's Seinfeld 3. Then out of two left, you've got I Love Lucy. Yeah. You've got Gilmore Girls.
Uh-huh. The Golden Girls.
And the Golden Girls.
I do. Yeah.
And
I got Charmed.
Roseanne. Charmed. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a tough. You've got to really. Is there one that's standing out to you out of that list that gets number four?
No.
You got a little conundrum going on.
They're all
over
pretty
there.
Much the same to me.
Yeah.
You know? No, I don't.
Hmm.
It's a hard question to answer.
It is a hard question. Like, if you don't think of it right away, once you start adding all these other shows and you go, oh, yeah.
Oh, for sure. Like, leave it. I know this sounds crazy, too, but, like, Leave It to Beaver. When I was younger, I loved that show.
And The Beaver.
Yeah, I thought that show was fantastic. I really did, especially as a kid. I used to watch The Andy Griffith Show. And then getting older, you know, the show that I think gets forgotten about because he turned out to be a creep, but was brilliant as well, was The Cosby Show.
Right.
Cosby Show was amazing, but he turned out to be a lowlife.
Cosby Show, Family Ties, which came on after Cosby
Show. I like Family
Show.
Ties. I wouldn't put it on that level. I did like Family Ties, though. You know, but yeah, it was good.
You're right, but the Cosby himself has tainted The Cosby Show.
Very much so. Full House was a great show. You know, I mean, there's a lot. That's why it's so difficult. So I tried to come up with, like, my favorite shows. I didn't even put in Gilligan's Island, which I love, too, as a kid. That's why it's NCIS, Law & Order, and Seinfeld. Past that, don't. Like, I don't even put Friends on the list. I liked it, but I wasn't a huge Friends fan.
It's no Gilmore Girls.
Shut up,
Al. Or Golden Girls.
Have you ever seen The Golden Girls?
Many years. It's been many years.
I think The Golden Girls is laugh out loud funny. I do.
I get it confused a little bit with Designing Women because my girlfriend in college at Indiana State, she always had Designing Women.
Mm-hmm.
And I would end up watching some of it. And I did laugh a couple times, but I don't really remember.
It's not a show I ever watched.
Yeah.
I'm aware of it, but I never saw it.
So Maude was on one of the Golden Girls, right? She was one of the Golden Girls.
Who's Maude?
She played the show. And then there's Maude. Maude used to come on like after Archie Bunker.
All in the Family I didn't put on the list. Yeah. I forgot about All in the Family. Let's see. Who played Maude? Oh, yeah. That's Dorothy. Yeah. So
she had two huge hit television shows.
Yeah. I wasn't even aware of this. Maude. I didn't know that. Yeah.
What a terrible name for a show, Maude.
B. Arthur,
that was it.
Yeah, so she was in Golden Girls. She was one of the main characters. Her mom was older than her, but they dressed up Estelle Getty to look like 20 years older than them. So. I like the A-Team. Wouldn't make my list.
No.
But as a kid, I liked that show.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of good ones.
Yeah, there's a lot of good
What's
shows.
Your list?
Well, I would put Seinfeld 1 for
Nolf Manor 2?
Milf Manor's not up there yet.
Okay.
I'd go Seinfeld 1.
Right.
I would do The Office number two.
See, I never liked it.
I love The Office.
It's funny. My son's watching it now.
Yeah.
And I was watching it with him the other day. I'm like, I don't get this. Like, I don't find this show funny. And he goes, you know what? I don't either. He was like 9 or 10 shows in. He's like, I think I'm bailing. I'm like, really? But I know it's wildly popular. Yeah. So that's on us.
Then I would go probably Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Okay.
For three.
I can't say I've seen if I've seen them all, I probably would agree with you. I've really only seen like 2 seasons of that and then clips.
Yeah, what's weird about that one is because it's on HBO, it doesn't get rerun.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen them once.
Mm. Not on Netflix or anything? HBO Max?
It's on HBO Max, but it's different than, like, we got used to seeing the shows on rerun on TV where you'd be clicking around and be like, I'll watch this. Oh, yeah. I'll see the Seinfeld. Oh, I'll watch
that you have to go to.
Yeah, you have to go, like, I want to go watch Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, I would put Arrested Development.
Okay.
I really enjoyed that one. And then number five, Californication.
Yeah, never
was
got
on Showtime.
That was with David.
David Duchovny.
Never
yeah.
got into that.
Yeah, I got so into that show, and I always found cool music on that show.
Hmm.
I would always end up googling like what the music was, and it was always be some cool cover of a song you knew, but you're like, what version is this?
Yeah,
and who sings this? But there's tons of when you start thinking about then the shows you grew up watching, that's a whole nother
thing. Oh, yeah. Well, that's what I was trying to think of my whole lifetime.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where my list was growing and growing, and I've got some embarrassing ones on there for sure.
You have 2 different shows with the
girls.
With the name Girls in
yeah.
it. Yeah. Gilmore Girls.
And I got Charmed in there.
And Charmed.
Yeah.
Which is also.
Mm-hmm. How about the Jeffersons?
Chicks. Love Jeffersons.
Like, I mean, what a great show. You know, I mean, you can really get nuts. Sanford and Son. I mean, you're talking, you know, I wasn't a Carol Burnett fan, but did you ever see Mama's House?
No.
You never saw that?
No.
Funny.
I knew that character she played on the Carol Burnett show.
Very funny.
What about, you know, I loved Different Strokes.
Yeah, I did. I did too. It wouldn't be in my top 10, but I did like that as a kid.
What racial harmony we had in those 1970s. 80s sitcoms. You had Jeffersons, which was it was a black and white couple, which was very rare.
That's true.
That they put on TV, right? And then Different Strokes. You had the rich man adopting Arnold and Willis.
Mm-hmm. But you also had, you know, the Jeffersons came from All in the Family.
Right.
That wasn't so racially harmonious.
It was not.
That show.
Yeah. That was always one that in my college years, both at Kane and then even more so, I think, probably when I was going for my master's degree, Jerry, and the things we would discuss in the master's program for film and television and radio, that they thought that All in the Family was so popular because half the people were on the side of Archie Bunker having, I don't really remember the show all that much, but was not tolerant of other races.
Yeah. And then you had Meathead.
Right. And then you had the other half of the audience that was sort of laughing at him for his terrible, like, boy,
for
what
his
a terrible. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he had, like, some people loved the show because, Archie Bunker, he knows what he's talking about. And others were like, look how ridiculous Archie Bunker is.
Yeah.
And that combination of an audience made it a large audience.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
I guess the better way, as I'm sitting here thinking about like that show and other shows, would be if all shows were wiped off the map and you could pick 5, that's all you could watch, like what would you choose?
Yeah.
You know, and then in that case, for me, the NCIS, Law and Order, Seinfeld, they're all in there. Number one, you've got tons of seasons. That's
right.
First and foremost. The other two, then, I really do think, and I sound like I'm 100, but I would put I Love Lucy on that list because I could watch that all day. I just think it's stupid comedy and it's fun. That would make the list. And what would be the fifth? That's the problem.
Yeah.
As the only thing I could watch, I've got 2 dramas and I got 2 comedies. And one's a really dumb comedy. Clearly, and I Love Lucy. And Seinfeld is more your everyday stupidity. I think I would go with... I might go Charmed.
Charmed.
I might go Charmed. I might. I don't know. I don't know. The fifth one's hard.
It is a tough one, Jerry. It's tough to narrow it down.
But I think I just put Seinfeld and I Love Lucy on the list.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah.
So really, you really only have one more opening.
Yeah. I'm adding to the list right now.
Jerry, I got a postcard I would like to tell you about.
Okay.
This comes to us from a fella named Eric.
What up, Eric?
Eric's from Colorado.
Okay.
Hi, Al and Jerry. I hope you are still doing postcards and that this one could be the first of the summer season. Recently, I went to Malta.
Malta? Where the hell is that?
A small island near Africa.
Okay.
And absolutely loved it. I highly encourage it as a destination.
Perfect. Al's going to book it for next weekend.
They speak English, so it is a very easy place for tourists and is safe. Malta has a very unique history, too, and the scenery is gorgeous. This is great. Fun fact about Malta. They filmed the Robin Williams Popeye movie here.
Oh, wow.
Which you can still visit. Hope the whole WFAN team is doing well. P.S. I hope the Giants draft Penix.
Oh, they didn't.
They didn't.
Yeah.
Malta. No chance we're ever going to end up in Malta.
No, I don't think I'm ever going to Malta.
In the Maltese Islands.
I think I'm good.
But I do like this. I do like getting the postcards. Yeah. We'll read them if you want to send in more postcards for this summer.
No, I think it's outstanding.
But try to, like this fella, Eric, wrote very legibly. Sometimes I get these postcards, I can't read them.
Now, this is a serious question. Humphrey Bogart, the Maltese Falcon, was
not
that
sure.
Based on
Maltese and the Maltese Islands?
Yeah.
I'm going to say it was, although I have no idea.
Let's see. The Maltese Falcon. You ever see that movie?
No.
Yeah, I saw that in my film noir class at Jersey City State.
Film noir?
Yeah. Yeah, we saw a whole bunch of older films.
What other films do you recall from film classes in college that as a class you watched?
There was, what was the name of the murder? Hollywood Boulevard? I'm trying to think. That was about a fallen fallen silent movie actress it was based in the 30s because America was coming out of the silent films into speaking. I don't know what's the right term to even say.
From silent films to talkies, they called them.
Is that what they called them?
They did. They called them talkies.
So there was this one female actress who was struggling to make that transition, and she was loaded and had this big, gigantic house on Hollywood Boulevard, and she gets murdered. And that's one that we watched. The Maltese Falcon we watched. We did watch... Oh, God. What is... Frankly Scarlet, I don't give a damn. What's the name of that, movie?
I don't remember.
Oh, come on. Casablanca. We watched that. Trying to think.
Did you watch any modern movies?
Double Indemnity? Is that? I think that's an old murder movie.
Okay.
We saw that. I don't think this was my film noir class, but a film class. Guess Who's Coming to Dinner with Spencer Tracy and Catherine Hepburn.
And then you would all discuss it afterwards, like the symbolism.
Yes, we had to write papers on it, and then we would have a big class discussion on it. That one was an eye-opening one for me, too, because I never, growing up, seeing a white man and a black woman or a black man and a white woman was never a thing to me. Like, I just...
That's because you watched The Jeffersons, Jerry.
Well,
it was...
You know what? Maybe. But it wasn't... I never looked sideways at that. It made sense to me. I never didn't think it was anything. Watching that movie, I was probably 19 or 20. I was like watching it with my jaw open. Like,
what was it about?
So Spencer Tracy, I forget his name in the movie, but him and his wife have a daughter who goes away to college, and they're a very well-to-do white family. I don't know where they were based. I don't remember that part of it, but she comes home with her boyfriend, and they're all excited to meet the boyfriend. And in comes Sidney Poitier.
Oh, yes.
And Spencer Tracy nearly has a stroke. And the whole movie is based on how they're going to get through this dinner and accept him. And it's long, it's drawn out, but in the end, they come to accept him. It's very interesting, though. And then you think about when that was filmed.
Right.
That's got to be the 50s,
I think. That's a good film class film.
Yeah, but that wasn't film noir. That was another film class that I saw. I don't remember what the name of that one was, though. But yeah.
We watched Do the Right Thing, the Spike Lee movie. We saw that in class. That was a good one.
That's one I've still never seen.
Then we even saw The Accused. Do you remember that one? That was with Jodie Foster. There was like a rape in the Amish community.
Oh, I am aware of that movie. I didn't see it, but I do know of that movie. Okay.
Yeah, we watched that one. Yeah, the Do the Right Thing was interesting to me because I didn't understand it at the time.
Yeah.
Like, it was crazy. Like, the end of it, like the Spike Lee character, he had worked for these Italian guys mm-hmm. in the pizza place. But at the end, he threw a garbage can through their window. And he seemed to like those guys. I couldn't figure out why he did that at the time. I don't know. I guess we talked about it in class. I eventually made more sense to me as I got older. But that's a really good film, Do the Right Thing.
You just don't remember the meaning of it.
That's correct. I remember then I saw it again, like on VHS.
Okay.
And I liked it. I was watching some Spike Lee movies there for a little while. Then he did the one about jazz, and I was like, I don't know what this is.
You weren't interested.
And then I was out. But prior to that, I was in.
Yeah.
All right, Jerry, let's do the warm-up show.
All right.
What do we got tomorrow? Oh, this week. Let me ask you this, Jerry. So this week, tomorrow, we have our big rehearsal.
Our first rehearsal.
For the live show, which is Friday.
Yeah.
We're doing that after the show at 10. I hope we still can do a podcast.
That would
be good.
But
if it goes to 11, we're kind of screwed.
Yeah.
And then if not, maybe we do a podcast Friday if you're
still
going to hang around.
I'm around. Okay. You guys bolt out of here like your pants are on fire.
Yeah.
I'm the one that's sitting here till 11 o'clock.
Well, Friday we won't be bolting out because we got the live show. So maybe we do a bonus episode podcast Friday.
That will depend on the tea time if we have one.
Right, correct.
So, but I'm all in. If not, Eddie can do it.
We'll play it by ear.
Sounds good.
How about that?
Yeah.
So.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights.
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Good morning, campers.
Al and Jerry. Don't worry, it's only an hour long, and most days it doesn't suck.
Hey, it's Tuesday. Feels like a Monday for us. The Eddie Scazzeri, what is up? And I know G and CeeLo spent a lot of time together yesterday. So did me and Al, though we weren't here. What's up, Al Dukes?
Why did they spend time together?
They drove to Cromwell, Connecticut after the show and golfed, where the Travelers Championship is. I was asked to go, too, but I had plans with you.
Gio drove to Cromwell, Connecticut
with
to golf?
Yeah. That's a PGA Tour course. I would have loved to have gone, but we had plans. So CeeLo took my spot.
Why don't they helicopter in, a la Boomer Esiason?
Maybe they did. I don't think they did. Maybe they did.
Yeah,
we'll
Jerry,
find out.
You and I spent a day together at the Princeton Longevity Center.
Yes, we did.
I got good news, bad news, Jerry.
Good news, bad news.
So the good news, Jerry.
Is this like buzz, no buzz?
Yeah. This is good news, bad news. Good news, Jerry. I have the heart health of a teenager.
Me too. I got the same news.
Yeah, he told me legitimately that the chances of me ever having a stroke or heart attack is like 0.1%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got very similar news.
Yeah, the bad news is I have the bone density of an 80-year-old grandmother. And
apparently the neck.
This is all going to snap at some point, bones.
That's not good.
Yeah, I got bad bones, Jerry.
I know.
I can't have Boomer touching me anymore. He tries to
smoosh
me.
No more bear hugs.
No more bear hugs.
No more molecules.
I can badmouth all I want. There will be no more physical touching me because my bones will snap.
I will tell you this, Eddie. There were two times that Al came out of the area from where he would be with a doctor or a nutritionist or whatever. One, after he was with the nutritionist, he came bouncing out like the happiest guy I've ever seen.
For real.
Like walked out with a smile on his face. With a little...
You were battling.
You were skipping. And then when you came out after the visit with the doctor about the bone density, it was a different person.
Yeah. Yeah, I was battling with the nutritionist, you know, fighting seed oils and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know I love to fight about nutrition. And then I was... Oh, the doctor had me in there. Look at this heart. I've never seen a
Which
heart.
Which was great.
I've never seen a heart so clear. You could legitimately start smoking and...
Well, he didn't say that.
Just drinking fat and
you are not
going to have a heart attack. Your bones, on the other hand, be careful when you sit down. You might crack a... I mean, I got...
Like I literally was watching him. You know when you watch an older person and you don't want them to trip and fall on the sidewalk? When we were walking out together, I was looking a couple of steps ahead of Al.
Correct.
To make sure you didn't trip and fall and break your hip.
Right. Like, I've seen my future, Jerry. I am not going to have a heart attack and die. I'm not going to have a stroke. I am going to fall and break my hip.
Yeah, I
that
know.
That sucks.
Well, it just gives you more reason to sit in your condo.
But then it gets weaker.
Well, you got decisions to make here, my friend. You're always one that doesn't want to take any risk.
Yeah. I have to get on testosterone, I think, to strengthen my bones.
You know what? You've always been intrigued by it.
Yeah,
now
let's
there's
go.
A reason for it.
Mm.
So maybe, just maybe, you'll be putting some muscle mass
back
on.
I'm going to be so manly, Jerry.
You might grow some chest hair now.
Yeah, that was the other thing I found out. They checked my my percentage of body fat.
Yes.
And think about this. I'm 5'10", 5'11", somewhere in there. I weigh 155 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
They go... You're too fat.
You're not too fat. You have too much body fat.
Right.
Do different things.
Yeah, really.
I learned yesterday.
I don't have muscles.
Right.
I need muscles, Jerry.
Correct.
I need bones and I need muscles.
Mm-hmm.
The two things I'm lacking.
Muscles and bones.
Oh, Jerry, when I start getting on testosterone, I'm going to be all jacked up in here. I'm going to be just doing some weight training.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be humping the couch out in the newsroom.
I don't know if you're going to be doing that. Let's relax
That's what I'm talking about.
Let's relax.
Then we also missed very big news while we were out.
I know.
Boomer Esiason and Phil Simms are out at the NFL today.
Mm-hmm.
We've got CBS Sports Network, Jerry, staying on.
Which is awesome.
Who knew they were leaving? That was news to me. They're like staying on. I got, were we going somewhere?
Right.
And Mr. Boomer Esiason signed, quote-unquote, Jerry, extensively into the future.
Yes. Thank you. Yes, I heard you run those yesterday.
You.
So I felt like I was here,
Yeah,
which was kind of cool. Yeah, no, I would like to thank him because I've got, college to pay for.
He's going to be, he's going to surpass Mr. Imus.
Yes, he is. And
Mr. Imus does characters.
And I think he's going to surpass you.
He's going to surpass me. He's going to surpass Mr. Imus. He's going to surpass Howard Stern as far as being on one station.
We were talking about that. Stern was 21 years at K-Rock.
I think he got to K-Rock in 85.
Right. And Imus was 20 years here, correct? Is that right, Eddie? 20 years or was it 19? It's right around there. So if Boomer gets to 2021, I mean, he is either beyond or right there on the Imus and Stern. Yeah, company.
That's unbelievable.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. I don't know if in 2000, remember, you signed on and didn't realize in 2007 if it would be coming off the David Lee Roth disaster. You didn't know if it was going to have staying power, and very quickly you learned it would. And here you are now, 17 years later, still going, and then a new extension for the Booms.
Yeah, I legitimately, I needed to move when I was starting the show, and I remember going to get a mortgage, and I was like, they'll give the show at least 3 years, even if it's a disaster. Yes. And then by then, I can sell and make a profit.
Right.
Here
and
we
it's
are.
It's been a lot longer than 3 years. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool.
Pretty good. Yeah. I
pretty
wish, would have been nice to have been here for it, but I do feel like they did a good job getting the clips out. I got to watch it.
Yeah.
And I thought it was pretty cool.
I agree. I felt like I saw it happen, even though I didn't see or hear it happen live. It was right there. Social medias.
Yeah.
And then everyone typing up their stories.
Yeah.
Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan, Boomer, Phil Sims.
J.J. Watt.
How did Bill Cowher survive that?
That's a great question.
My goodness.
I don't know. Because if you would tell me that the NFL, and I'm not picking on anybody, but if you would tell me the NFL today, and like Boomer said, more their choice than his, though I do think he's excited. Watching him, it sounds like the idea that he could have a fall to himself finally.
Yeah.
Sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, it's really nice.
But if you told me the NFL today was going to move on from 2 of 3, Boomer would have been the last of the three I would have picked.
Correct.
But yeah, a little odd.
Yeah, a little strange.
So, whatever. He's got his weekends now, which, as he said, first time in 40 years.
I think Bill Cowher should have quit in solidarity. Print that awful announcement.
I dare you. Well, I don't know how much solidarity. It's everybody for themselves.
Everyone
in
for
this
themselves,
world.
Right,
yes.
Jerry? I got to be honest. I don't watch these pregame shows, Jerry.
I know you don't.
They're boring.
I know you've said that many times.
They are boring.
I have a routine. I've always had the routine of NFL Network at 9 a.m. on Sunday. I enjoy it. I actually do like the show. And then usually 12:30 to 1 NFL Today. You know, we'll see if that changes. I don't know.
They also, this came out late last night, Brent Musburger's back. So he's going to, he and James Brown.
James Brown?
Yeah, they're gonna kind of tag team the.
Is Irv Cross still with us? Has he passed away?
I think Irv Cross has passed away, Jerry, but I'll double check that.
Okay.
He was great.
Yeah, I liked Irv.
You're looking alive. He passed away in 2021, Jerry, at the age of 81.
Okay.
Irv Cross.
The You're Looking Live, I know we've talked about this on the podcast in the past. That, as a kid, was the most exciting. Like, you want to get into your Sunday, your football Sunday, and I would be there on Channel 2 waiting for the NFL. I think, I could be wrong about this, I think it was 12:30 to 1. When I was a kid.
Yeah, it was half hour.
Right, it was. I remember going for the NFL Today, and if I missed the beginning, I was so mad at myself because I love the look of the stadium, sometimes the overhead. You are looking live at Texas Stadium in Irving, Texas. We're today at the Cowboys and Red. Oh, it was great
stuff.
Yeah,
you wanted to get a look. Is it snowing?
Yes.
Is it flurrying? Is it raining?
When
they
went to
Lambeau.
Yeah. Oh, it was great.
Are the Cowboys wearing the blue uniforms? That means they're going to lose.
On the road.
We don't know.
It's exactly it. Little things as kids we dealt with as football fans. That's true. Yep, I know.
You are looking live, Jerry.
Yep, pretty cool.
Yeah. So, okay, we got a new look NFL. Is Fox going to bounce some of those?
No, I believe Terry Bradshaw will be back for his 77th year. That's
My
been
gosh.
All they've done, unless I'm mistaken, all they've done is added people. Like, they've put new people in, but no one goes anywhere. I think they give guys different weeks off, but man, between Terry and Howie and Jimmy Johnson and what's his name from the, I said Howie Long. It's a lot of the same guys though. Michael Strahan's been doing that a while now.
Yeah. Long time. I thought Funhouse had a nice tweet. I like this. Funhouse wrote, Boomer Esiason announces that he is out at the NFL Today. This leaves a panel of only 12.
It is a lot of people.
It's a lot of people, Jerry.
It's a lot of people.
The Mets almost had a no-hitter last night.
So going back to the Princeton Longevity Center, one of the things my doctor, our doctor, could not have been better. And I walked in, he goes, I got to tell you, I ain't got much bad to say to you. He goes, which is a good thing. And he goes, the one thing we'll start with, though, your sleep. He goes, and then we'll get to all your scans. He goes, you got to get more sleep. So we went over the schedule. I mean, it's just not possible. He's like, well, can you go to bed at 7:50 instead of 8:20? You get 30 minutes extra there. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to try that tonight. And then Luis Severino's throwing a no-hitter. And I'm sitting there. I got the doctor in my head. I'm like, I can't turn this off. He was, and I know they lost the game, and I know he gave up the no-hitter in the eighth inning. He looked like a Cy Young candidate last night. He was awesome, man. Everything, he was pounding the strike zone. I know he walked a couple throughout the course of the game. But, I mean, strike one on almost every batter. He had the slider working. Guys were swinging over the top of it. A lot of weak contact. I had the same feeling watching him that I had when I watched Johan Santana on that Friday night. I really thought he was throwing the no-hitter last night. But again, you're sitting there like, can you give the guy some runs to work with? Their offense was putrid last night. Just awful. And you give Jameson Taillon a lot of credit because after the home run to Nimmo, they couldn't do a damn thing offensively. But Severino was phenomenal. Really
so
was.
So he takes a no-hitter into the eighth inning and the Mets lose the game.
Yeah, because they can't score. You
and
know,
Edwin
if that's
Diaz
a four... I'm not saying score nine runs. I get it. But can you be up 3-0 in the eighth inning? Up 4-0? I mean, just tack on a couple? It's just a whole bunch. And I think if I could be wrong time-wise, but I think it was the top of the seventh inning at like 8:06. The game started at 7 o'clock.
Like we were humming along.
Flying because both... The Met offense was 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, and it was the same for the Cubs. They were doing nothing. The game was just humming along really quickly. And so I made the decision to stay up and watch the end, and I got burnt.
Do you think we will get a Mets no-hitter this year? What would you give me? Give me a percentage.
Now, the same percentage as me and you having a heart attack, 0.18.
Wow, so not great.
No, not great. Come on. They've got two in their history, and one was one of those combined phony ones, and the other people complain about the Santana one with the ball on the chalk. So, no, I don't think they're getting a no-hitter.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't even. If you were to ask me today how many no-hitters have the Mets thrown, I said one.
You don't think of a combined one?
I do not think of a combined no-hitter.
I'll tell you what
That's
I don't.
So fugazi.
Here's what I don't think of, and I'm going to look it up now because I don't remember. I have no idea who threw the Met combined no-hitter.
Me neither. I don't know a single guy involved.
As I sit here right now, wow, it was Tyler McGill and four relievers. It took five pitchers to do this, and I don't even remember. It was against the Phillies. I don't remember that either. So it was Tyler McGill, Drew Smith, Jolie Rodriguez, Seth Lugo, and then Edwin Diaz.
I bet those guys don't even consider that they were involved in a no-hitter.
I bet you, well, maybe. I would think Diaz would from the standpoint of he closed that out.
Yeah, that's true.
But the other three in the middle, they just go in and do their job. I mean, I'm sure if Seth Lugo was the guy that pitched the eighth inning, there's got to be some pressure to keep it going. Tyler McGill, five innings, 88 pitches. He was part of it. I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah, he was the main chunk of it, and yet we don't think of.
No, I had to look it up. I don't remember. Yeah. I just remember a combined no-hitter with the Mets a couple of years ago, but I didn't remember the details of it. Whereas the Johan Santana against the Cardinals on a Friday night, I remember pretty good.
Yeah, the Johan Santana one I never thought was fugazi. I blame Mr. Craig Carton in the afternoons with Evan. He used to bring it up any chance he could about how it was not a no-hitter. He kept it in the lexicon, Jerry.
Well, it's not just him. I mean, a lot of people will say, yeah, you got away with one in that game. But you know what? You get away with stuff in almost every game.
Yes, we do.
So it still felt like if you were there, probably tenfold. But I remember watching the game at home, even with that, you still felt the pressure build in the seventh and the eighth and the ninth. Because I don't remember. I want to say that was the fifth inning or the sixth inning maybe that shot down the left field line. So there was still, it wasn't like it was with two outs in the ninth where really was broken up. Like he still had to battle through those next few innings of that zero on the scoreboard. And that's still a lot of pressure, especially when you're doing it for an organization that never had one.
Yeah, it was a big deal, Jerry. And I still count it as a big deal.
I do too.
And I would sacrifice his career for the no-hitter. A lot of people didn't like that.
Yeah, I don't blame his career on the no-hitter. I don't. I know what Boomer is. He's over and over again. I'm sorry. I don't think when you've pitched your entire life and you've thrown 3 million pitches, throwing an extra 22 pitches in a game is what killed his career. I don't buy it for a second.
Too.
So, was it 137? Okay. Whatever. I mean, the guy was going 110 anyway. We're talking 27 throws. Stop. I will never accept that as why his career went down the tubes.
Did you watch that game from the beginning, do you remember? Did you hop in?
I remember I got home third inning.
When I hopped in on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just remember I remember I got there right when the third inning began, didn't think much of it. And at the time, kids were still young. They still went to bed, I don't know, before 2 a.m. My house was quiet, and I basically watched that game by myself. And once it got to the fifth, sixth inning, you start thinking, like last night, I would say even in the fifth inning, because Severino was so good, it hit me like fourth, fifth inning. This guy's got no-hitter stuff. Like, he looks special tonight. Didn't happen, but it was close.
Yeah.
Six outs away. And I think it was Gary Cohen after the sixth. Was it the sixth or after the seventh? I forget. Going to break, they had a shot of the moon going to commercial. And he's like, something special could be brewing here at Citi Field. And he was almost right.
And then it got ruined.
It did get ruined.
And they didn't even get the win, Jay.
And then they didn't even get the win.
They lost to the Cubs.
Very difficult to win. No, the Cubs are actually really good. So, I mean,
this year they're good.
Check the standings.
Right, I will do that during the break. I'll take a look, see where they're at.
They're 19-11 or 18-11 or something. They're pretty good.
Whatevs.
Whatevs. I would take a quick break. Our first of the hour. Talking about not being able to hit. The Yankees, after scoring 400 runs over the weekend in Milwaukee, couldn't hit last night in Baltimore. We'll get to that and a whole lot more than Boomer and Geo at 6 on the Fan.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Al and Jerry, number one with people and cars stuck in traffic on the LIE and the Jersey Turnpike.
Hey, nice to have you with us, 25 after 5. Get up, get up, get up. Get out, get out, get out. So we were looking through all the baseball stuff. The Yankees were awful last night. What else, Darryl?
So I saw something over the weekend that actually came out Friday afternoon.
Okay. It was a news dump?
It was just a strange thing. And then I don't think this was covered on the program yesterday. That, you know, in the NFL, when the teams are practicing, they put those weird things on their helmets.
The padded. Yeah.
That giant padded.
Oh, great gazoo.
Yeah, you look like the great gazoo, that big pet.
Yeah.
So on Friday, the NFL releases a statement that says, hey, we encourage you want to wear those in the games. It's good.
Excuse me?
Yeah. You can wear those in regular season NFL games this season.
You're kidding me.
I saw that nowhere other than Pro Football Talk had it.
Wow.
I saw the press release from the NFL. No one, nerd alert, no one's putting that thing on your helmet.
The NFL is greenlighting a specialized padded helmet. Wow. So I did the Rutgers spring game for Big Ten Network on Saturday, and I didn't realize, I did going in because I had watched some video of some of these games prior, that they wear those shell, the padded helmets.
Yeah.
And there's no, once you see, I guess it's like anything, once you watch a couple of plays, you forget they're even there. But it is odd when you see that. It's a different look for sure.
It's very strange. Huh. And first of all, the NFL loves their logos, right? There's nothing better than the star on the cowboy helmet.
Hmm.
You're going to cover up the logo with those dopey things?
So I'm going to ask this, and I don't know if this is the right answer. Is this another way to design the helmet, like put the logo on these padded shells?
Yeah, it's going
to
look weird, though, because the way that the padded shells are, it looks like, you know, like those air wrap air bubble things. Logo's not going to look nice on that.
Eddie just told me the logos will be on it. No, you're right. It probably will.
It's going to look weird.
But I guess that's what they'll do. Wow.
By the way, you're gonna be laughed at by your teammates if you put one of those weird helmets on.
Well, all right, so we can go back. Was it Jacques Plante was the first NHL? Wasn't he the first NHL goalie to wear a helmet, a face mask? Jacques Plante, I think. I think when you go back to guys wearing helmets in hockey,
yeah,
it's the same conversation. You know, when you talk about The guard for the jaw guard for baseball, it might have been the same conversation. Putting nets up at games, it was the same conversation. At some point, though, if someone wants to step forward and do it, and it does prevent injuries, great. Remember the pitcher on the Mets that wore that goofy hat?
Yes.
Now, they've done, this is one thing I will never be able to understand until we actually get something on it. That was a horrible design, but very well-intentioned. I mean, you go stand out there with these guys hitting the ball 120 miles an hour off the bat. You saw it last night with Clark Schmidt. It wasn't a line drive, but took a ball off his ribs. Protecting the head seems like a pretty smart idea to me. What's amazing to me about this is the best we get?
Yes, it looks just gigantic right now.
I'm telling you.
Bubble wrap.
Troy Aikman, man, he said it 20 years ago. You want to make it safer, go back to leather helmets, and then guys won't go crazy with their heads. They won't lead with their heads. The only type of head contact would be incidental, which is unfortunate, but it happens. Maybe this is a path to that. I don't know, because that does look goofy.
I don't think you're going to see players doing that, because you're going to look very bizarre. And if I was in a game with a guy like that, Jerry, I would tackle him. I'd be like this, you nerd.
Let me ask you this. As you're working the leg...
Yeah, that's right.
What about guys that have had concussions in the past?
Still, no one's going to wear these.
I don't know.
I don't see it.
Like, I know he has since retired because of a neck injury, but Leighton Van Der Esch of the Cowboys, I know, had a concussion or two in his 5 years. I could see him wear, if he was still able to play and didn't have the neck injury, I could see someone like that throwing it on. Like, it preserves your career. Here's your options for someone like that. Continue to play for millions of dollars and be a little bit safer, or risk the issues you could have down the road. I don't know. I could see guys doing this. I could.
Yeah, it's going to be odd. I don't know who's going to be the first guy to do this, Jerry, but someone must be a pioneer.
I think maybe a
punter who doesn't want to get hurt. Will just that cap, I know it probably weighs nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like it weighs 60 pounds.
Yeah, well, it's got to cover the entire helmet.
Yeah.
But I've never actually... But I don't know.
I would love for the Giants and Jets, we have a Giants helmet and a Jets helmet on display. Send us one of those wraps. I'll put that on top of the thing.
Call Pat Hanlon. I'm sure he'll send one over.
Yeah, it's weird.
Asking him or just...
No, just the whole concept. It was just weird that it came out Friday. I didn't see anyone...
I can't believe I didn't see it anywhere.
I didn't see anyone talking about it.
Boy, that is a Friday news dump.
And then Monday here, you got the Knicks, you got the Rangers, Jerry.
Well, maybe
you
today's
got
the day.
Sports talk.
Mm-hmm. And today's the day. I mean, you got the Mets and the Yankees, vomiting all over themselves offensively.
Yeah.
So the story there isn't much other than the pitching was great. The Knicks play tonight, but there's plenty of time to talk about this.
Then the other thing I saw on Friday, and now I have to root against this guy,
it's
Jerry.
It's now Friday again.
I know. All this happened on late Friday or early, maybe it was even Saturday morning.
Okay.
Is that Caleb Williams, the Bears drafted a punter after Caleb Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And he texted the punter and said, hey, you're not going to punt much here.
You're going to be going for it on fourth down a lot?
Guess what, Caleb? You're going to be punting a lot.
Oh, boy.
That's what the Bears do. They punt the football.
Oh, yeah.
This really reminded me of Johnny Manziel. We're going to wreck the league together. I got to root against him, Jerry.
Johnny Manziel wrecked himself.
Yes.
Well, you are rooting against him anyway because you don't want him to be successful.
Now I don't.
Because you were written about.
By the way, Johnny Manziel is dating Josie Canseco, Jose Canseco's daughter.
It's funny you bring him up because, it's that Bob Does Sports stuff, though, but he just did a whole, they played a night golf event with them. Man,
Johnny Manziel play?
Yeah, it's like I'm looking at him like I feel like he was drafted 25 years ago, and it wasn't that like his career was so short,
very short.
He like him in the spotlight again, and well, for me in that moment, I went and looked him up, and you're thinking, man, oh man, you really had a lousy career, and then you're thinking back to the documentary. Was it Netflix that did it?
Yes, Untold.
Yes, and I'll still never forget the way it ended. The whole thing was about it was alcohol and whatever. And he's having a beer at the end. Like, you thought he was on the straight and narrow.
Oh, at the end of the documentary?
Yeah, I remember he's sitting there drinking a beer and playing darts.
Oh, right, yeah. Oh,
okay, well, we're still having cocktails. I mean, good for him, as long as he's okay. But
hey, good for you.
This is what got you basically part of the reason why you're not in the league anymore.
Right. The alcohol, Jerry.
That was a part of it, yeah.
Hmm. I'd like to send him to Princeton Longevity Center. Send him right through a bone scan. See what he's see what his bones are looking like.
Better than yours.
Yeah, I got bad bones, Jerry. You know what they say like about a house? As the house is not great, it's got good bones.
Yeah.
I'm the opposite.
Yes.
I'm going to collapse. My house is going to collapse, Jerry.
You might just like wither.
Yeah.
Not good.
All right. So those are the two. And then I see, you know, the roast of Tom Brady is coming up this weekend, Sunday. And that Bill Belichick's going to be there.
Really?
Yeah. So Bill Belichick.
Someone's writing that for him.
Oh, yeah. All those guys will get their stuff. But then when you show up, as we've seen on these roasts, now you're get mocked.
But what are they going to say about Bill Belichick? Honestly, when we do Spygate, deflated balls, the walk of shame.
Walk of shame.
But what is there really to say about him? Other than he's a miserable human being when he coaches and seems like he's fun outside of football.
Yeah, but based on that documentary on the Patriots, that Spygate stuff bugs him.
Yes.
You get it right under his skin.
Let me ask you this, though. If there was a roast of you, would you rather someone roast that, like something professional that has been in the news for 30 years, or going after like salacious stuff that's been out there? Like, for instance, the Brady stuff with like being mocked about Giselle and the Brazilian jiu-jitsu guy, that still has to hurt you to your core, I would think. As opposed to the whole Spygate stuff, which was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Not that big a deal.
So someone will have to do a jiu-jitsu instructor joke,
of course,
right?
I would think right out the gate.
I wonder who's going to take that shot.
It'll be the first guy. Well, it'd either be, I don't know who's part of this. Who's the guy who does it he's in all of them? We just talked
Jeffrey Ross.
Yes. I would think if he's leading the way, that's within the first 30 seconds.
Well, I think Kevin Hart is hosting.
Oh, so Jeffrey Ross might just be there, maybe?
No, he's one of the roasters.
Okay.
Kevin Hart. I am interested in this. I will watch this. Of course, I won't watch it Sunday night. I'll be sleeping. But I will watch that the next.
And this is live.
This is going to be live. You're looking live at the roast of Tom Brady.
Now, that would be a cool way to start it. Maybe I'd watch it then.
A bunch of his old teammates will be there as well.
Yeah, I don't think we get much out of that.
Yeah, I'd rather have the mean comedians.
Well, there'll be plenty of those.
Just
whoosh. I just want to know, is our girl going to be there?
Nikki Glaser?
Yes.
I hope so. I didn't see her name on the list, but I didn't really see a list. I saw a list of former players that are going to be
there. I'm
not
interested in that.
Me neither.
That sounds boring to me.
Yeah.
You know, I want to hear the comedians just rip them to shreds.
Maybe I'll Google that during the break.
All right.
Oh, and good news for your Cowboys, Jerry. They're getting Zeke Elliott back for a year.
Okay. Whatever.
That's a kind of a weird signing.
No, it's a low-risk signing. It's nothing.
Low risk?
Yeah. If you give me Ezekiel Elliott on the 1 yard line in a first and goal situation, that's great. But I don't want him carrying the ball 25 times a game anymore.
They're going to give it to him 35 times a game, Jerry. He's going to be a workhorse.
Not a chance. Right now, their running back situation is terrible. So the fact that they bring him in, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
The fans will like that.
Yeah. I think having him back, and I think, I could be wrong, I would think this would be his last stop because a lot of wear on those tires. And he went to New England. Not much. They weren't very good, though, either. I would think this would be a good place for him to finish his career.
Right, like opening game of the season, Jerry. Cowboys drive down. They get to the one. All of a sudden, Zeke Elliott comes running in. Oh, the crowd will go crazy.
I agree. I totally agree. So we'll see. I mean, him and Dak. And this could be the last year for Dak there, too. So there could be a big change in Dallas coming. They haven't signed him to the extension yet. I don't know that they're going to. And if he goes out there and plays this 1 year, he could be done.
I haven't called a lot of plays in the NFL, Jerry, but here's what I would do if I was the Cowboys.
Yeah.
First game, we're driving down the field, we get to the one, Zeke Elliott comes running out. Everyone's like, oh, the decoy.
Mm-hmm. Fake the handoff.
Don't give it to him.
Yep. I like that.
Pretty good, right?
Fake the handoff, CD Lamb to the left. Beautiful. Touchdown, Cowboys.
Every game. He's a decoy.
Well, you got to mix it in once in a while because if he's a decoy like every game, you're going to realize he's a decoy.
Right, but you decoy him like 8 straight games.
And then week 9.
Yeah, week 9 when you really need him.
Zeke will unleash you week 9.
Yeah.
Just hang in there. Week 9, his stats, 8 carries, 8 yards.
Right, but week 9, Jerry, he just goes off.
Keeping the legs fresh for the back part of the season.
Absolutely, yes.
Take a break, 5:37, more than halfway home. Boomer and Gio at the top on the fan. Don't go away.
Al and Jerry, two manly men that could definitely change a flat tire.
Oh, what is going on? Oh, nice to have you with us on this Tuesday. It's me and the old guy over here to my left.
Oh, hey, Jerry. Jerry, may I give you something else from the weekend? Because I really feel like I missed out on being here yesterday.
And... yes, is this where baseball said they're going to start using softballs instead of baseballs in games?
No, but this does involve Mr. Aaron Judge and his slide on Sunday.
In the Brewers game.
So, yeah, so Aaron Judge is, first of all, wuss, running with one of those oven mitts on.
Yes.
I mean, Aaron Judge is the type of guy who would put on one of those caps on his NFL football helmet. So he's already running with one of those on. Then when he goes into a slide, he breaks up the double play by putting his hand up.
Mm-hmm. Which is legal.
Okay. For a man who's got a hurt toe, don't you think he might hurt his hand putting his hand up for a guy to whip a baseball into a point-blank range?
But part of that is to not get your hands caught on the ground. Like when you slide, usually, maybe not that high, usually you do put your hands up. Like, I don't think there's anything unusual about that slide.
He claims that if you were to look back at his slides, every time he slides, he puts his hand up.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think he was attempting to break up the double play?
No, I think he was sliding. I think that's the way he slides. He was sliding into second base.
Because if he was attempting to break up the double play that way, it just seems, for a man who's injury prone, a dangerous thing to do for someone a professional to whip a baseball 1 foot from your hand.
Yeah. No, I don't think that was the idea of, and I think he was just sliding into the base.
He was just sliding.
Mm-hmm.
So the guys, when dudes slide, they don't want to, where's the potential injury if you don't put your hand up?
Dragging your hand on the ground to get caught. I mean, there's a whole bunch of different things could happen. But I do think that what he did and maybe the hand was higher than it needed to be, I don't know. I'm with you. If I'm the shortstop coming across, whip it right into my
hand. I would try to hit his hand next time.
Yeah.
Like, take this dude right out of the season.
Oven mitts have become incredibly popular.
Yeah.
I think they're silly, especially if you don't slide head first. Right. I don't know what the point of them is. I understand if you're sliding head first, you get a little extra length to the base. You can protect from injury, I suppose. But if you're sliding feet first, I don't know what we're doing.
Yeah, it seems like it would make sense if you had a crucial play at the plate and you needed to do that slide where you slide on the outside and try to
gives you a little extra length to reach the plate or the bag you're going to.
Yeah, it doesn't seem fair.
Yeah.
When did that come into the league? Or like, yeah, if you want to wear
it's
an
pretty,
oven mitt?
It's pretty new. I would say new, within the last 3-4 years. Maybe someone will tell me, 10 years ago, but I don't remember that. Prior to the last, 3-4 years, I will tell you, with the travel baseball, that's become a very popular thing in the last couple of years.
Like, if I go into Dick's Sporting Good, can I find one of those on the shelf?
Oh, absolutely. I'm telling you, every kid in travel baseball has one.
Really?
It's goofy to me. I said to my wife, I'm like, these kids they don't even know what the hell they're buying it for.
Because the MLB players have it.
That's exactly right. And there's the influence right there.
Aaron Judge is wearing an oven mitt. I will wear an oven mitt.
That is, yes. Didn't you ever do that as a kid? Mookie Wilson ever wear something you wanted?
Oh, for sure.
Right.
Absolutely. Oh, so, the wristbands.
Mm-hmm.
Wristbands, Jerry.
What about the batting gloves? You ever
batting gloves, yeah.
Right.
Batting gloves. I wore batting gloves, Jerry. I went a year without a hit.
No, I'm aware. Well documented.
A full season, zero hits.
At that point, your dad should have been like, hey, Albert, leave the gloves in the bag. Let's be honest.
Where's my glove? I can't possibly get up a bat without my glove on.
I never had batting gloves. Hated them. And yet I can't swing a golf club without one. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Was not a batting glove guy.
Back then, I was only wearing the batting glove. I'm righty, so I was told to wear it on your left.
Mm-hmm.
Now they wear both.
Yes.
Batting gloves.
Mm-hmm. Some guys do. Some guys still wear one. And there are a handful of guys that don't use batting gloves.
I wonder if I was in a little league now emulating baseball players.
You'd have the oven mitt, you'd have the shoe guard, you would have the elbow guard, you would have the cage across your face, the jaw guard. You would look like a robo player.
Right. If I was fortunate in Little League to draw a walk, all the things I'd have to
call timeout to be like a 30-second pause in the game.
I'd probably ask my parents for gold chains to wear. All the baseball players are wearing gold chains. Where's my gold chain?
Yeah. You get one custom made. This is Al.
Yeah. No, I would have a custom made chain that said no hit. People would think it was like I threw a no hitter.
Yeah, no, it's because I get no hits.
No, right, I'd be known as no hit.
How old were you again when you did that?
When I had no hits?
Yeah.
I was probably 12.
12? You're supposed to be getting better at 12. Did you have hits when you were 11? Like, it was just the 1 year, right?
I didn't have a lot of hits. I recall there was a season where I had zero hits. I will tell you that at 13, I definitely got hits.
Okay.
Like, 13 was my peak.
That was your breakout year?
Yeah, I was really good in the field, and I was able to get some hits.
Okay. Because, like, I watch you on the softball field. You obviously can play a little bit, and I would think that would have carried over from the time you were a kid.
No, I was intimidated by...
Everybody?
Other children. No, there were... You know, Jerry, there's a certain point. I was a very late puberty person.
Mm-hmm. Right, 25?
So, when you are 12, and there's a puberty kid pitching,
yeah,
and he has no control, mm-hmm, but is able to smoke that ball in, you've got to be confident to get in that box.
And as I have... Now, twice with my older son and my younger son, that is like I would say 11 is when you start to see the kids that hit puberty younger or have that growth spurt. And all of a sudden at 11, you show up with your nice little town travel team. Every kid's the same size, very average. And then you get to that one game where that one team has four kids that look like they're 17. It's like the kid's 6 foot tall. It is very intimidating. I agree with you.
We need to delay the game. A couple of our guys got to shave.
Well, and that's not at 11, but I'll tell you what, 13, 14, yes. Yeah, you start to actually question. I never did it, but there have been a couple of instances where I was close to asking for birth certificates because you're technically, as a travel coach, you're supposed to carry the birth certificate or copies with you. I never did, but there were a couple times I'm like, that kid can't be 14.
The kid who pulled up in his own Trans Am. Can we get a... Get an ID check on him.
Yeah. That didn't happen until 16, when kids could be driving and they would drive their parents to games.
Very crazy.
Yeah, it is. Yes, it is.
The Minnesota Twins, Jerry, have a home run sausage that they give to players who hit a home run.
I'm sorry.
I love sausage.
Yeah, I do too.
Home runs. What the hell
home
does
run
that
sausage,
even,
Jerry?
What does it mean?
Well,
show me a sausage.
So what happens is, Jerry, someone hits a home run. And as they're running back to the dugout, someone throws them the home run sausage.
Sausage.
It's a sausage in a package. Here's my raw sausage. Eat it.
So this is like real sausage.
It's a real summer sausage.
I love sausage.
It was gifted to a player, and he doesn't...
Someone said, here's my sausage.
Sausage.
No, he...
What?
He does a local endorsement of a place...
Oh, I see.
...that sells sausage.
Whacking them with their sausage?
So he gave him a sausage that's in a case. It's in a plastic.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Rocco Baldelli, the manager, is a little concerned, he said, because this sausage is being thrown about. It's not refrigerated. And he thinks at some point the packaging is going to break and it's going to... be quite disgusting.
It's going to smell.
Big sausage.
Yeah. So they got a big sausage over there.
So they're not going to cook the sausage.
Yeah.
They're just going to pass it around.
Yeah. Rocco Baldelli, the manager, described it as a, quote, substantial packaged sausage.
Sausage.
Mm-hmm. Sausage as a euphemism for a penis.
Correct.
So they've got a rally sausage, but they're doing well.
They got to a terrible start. I think they've played well recently. But good for them. Keep the sausage going.
Yeah, thanks to the sausage.
Thanks to the sausage. Thank you.
I like that thing the Mariners use that looks like the Mariner pitchfork.
Like, I don't know what's that.
If you get, remember the old Mariners logo was like a guy with a pitchfork or something?
Neptune's Trident.
Neptune's Trident. And you hit a home run for the Mariners. When you get in the dugout, they give you that and you go.
Now, is that recent or did Robbie Cano actually get that back in the day?
No, this is a more recent
one. Oh, okay. All right. That's one team. You talk about not even knowing they exist. That's one team that, unless they're here against the Yankees, I don't see a highlight. I don't check in on them.
Like, right.
They're like the Angels. And the Angels have Mike Trout, for God's sakes. Don't care about them either. Them and like the Mariners. They're just kind of like out there.
Yep.
It's weird.
In this day and age where we have access to everything. We still not see a Mariners highlights.
No, I really don't. Again, not unless they're playing the Mets or the Yankees. So,
would you rather have the Neptune's Trident or the summer sausage?
The Neptune's Trident.
You would.
That seems cooler.
It is kind of cool.
I like when teams are going well and they got those fun things happening in and around the team. That's kind of cool.
It's
you
fun.
Know, especially if you end up winning or making the postseason, that becomes kind of like your rallying cry. It's neat.
Plus, you could sell them at the ballpark. Like, the Twins should be selling sausage, sausage.
I would certainly think if they haven't, they should start soon.
I'm going to run up and get a beer and a rally sausage.
There's no chance you would do that at a game. You'd be so worried about being in the bathroom. I know you too well at this point.
Yeah, that's true. That rally sausage would send me right to the public toilet.
All right, we'll step aside for just a minute. When we come back, we'll wrap it up. We'll have Boomer and Geo on this Tuesday show right now on Odyssey Sportsman and Amy Lawrence. Adios, LA Lakers.
It's the dynamic duo of Al and Jerry. The superheroes of WFAN.
We've got about a minute or so left. Boomer and Geo standing by. What else, Al?
What's weird about the Yankees, Jerry? They scored like 30 runs in two games, right?
And they got shut down last night.
And they get shut out. And then I actually went back to their schedule and counted up the shutouts.
Mm-hmm.
Five of them.
Yeah, they've
year.
Had some.
It's a lot.
Yeah, they've had some big fat zeros. And even last night, like talking about the Mets, can you tack on a little bit? The Yankees, a third or fourth inning, whatever it was. Got a guy on third base and one out and Aaron Judge up. Like, just put the ball in play. They're giving you the run. And he whiffs on a ball that's low and away.
You know what the Yankees need, Jerry? Rally sausage.
Maybe.
Get a rally,
you know,
summer
what
sausage.
I liked, you remember the, that's a silly question. Back in the day when the Angels won the World Series, they had the rally monkey.
Yeah, I do remember rally monkeys.
That was actually, Mike Socha was the manager. That was a lot of fun.
Because they started selling the rally monkeys. And you can get
right.
one at the ballpark.
Maybe the Yankees need a road rally monkey.
Yankees like a Bronx Zoo monkey?
Maybe, yeah. That'd be cool.
But
put
then they
stripes on them.
They say we rip it off from the Angels. We need something else.
All right, fine.
Like
Pick something else then. A rally tiger.
What about a rally rat? We got a lot of rats.
Speaking of that, I actually did not park in a spot today because there was a rat the size of a cat. No joke. I pulled in the spot, and all I could think of is your car when the rat ate whatever belt in
my
under
timing
your
belt.
I left. I went into a metered spot.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah. A rat was eating my timing belt while I started my car up, and I beheaded
him. And you choked him to death.
Yeah, I beheaded him.
It's disgusting.
Of course, it also destroyed my car.
Well, yeah, and that's why I didn't park the car where I was. So, I like the rally rat.
I was thinking this morning, I actually have not seen a rat in New York City in a long time.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, you're not looking.
Of course, I parked.
WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.